Driving inland from the state capital of Adelaide in South Australia, I saw in this prime farmland of Australia one ruin after another of abandoned farms. Much of that area was developed for sheep farming during the wet years of the 1850s and early 1860s, when the land was covered with grass and looked lush. With droughts beginning in 1864, the overgrazed landscape became littered with the bodies of dead sheep, and those sheep farms were abandoned. A series of wet years in the 1870s encouraged the government to resell at high prices the abandoned sheep farms as small, overcapitalized wheat farms. Those wheat farms succeeded for a few years of abnormally high rainfall until they too failed and became consolidated into larger holdings that reverted to being large sheep farms in the late 1870s. With the return of drought, many of those sheep farms subsequently failed once again, and those that still survive today cannot support themselves based on sheep. Their farmer owners require second jobs, tourism, or outside investments to make a living. There have been more or less similar histories in most other food-producing areas of Australia. What made so many initially profitable food-producing properties become less profitable? The reason is Australia's number one environmental problem, land degradation, resulting from a set of 9 types of damaging environmental impacts: clearance of native vegetation, overgrazing by sheep, rabbits, soil nutrient exhaustion, soil erosion, man-made droughts, weeds, misguided government policies, and salinization. Briefly, these impacts are as follows. Australia still clears more native vegetation per year than any other first world country, and its clearance rates are exceeded in the world only by Brazil, Indonesia, the Congo, and Bolivia. Most of Australia's current land clearance is going on in the state of Queensland for the purpose of creating pasture land for beef cattle. The Queensland government has announced that it will phase out large-scale clearing, but not until 2006. The resulting damage to Australia includes land degradation through dryland salinization and soil erosion, impairment of water quality by runoff of salt and sediment, loss of agricultural productivity and land values, and damage to the Great Barrier Reef. Rotting and burning of the bulldozed vegetation contribute to Australia's annual greenhouse gas emissions, a gas quantity approximately equal to the country's total motor vehicle emissions. A second major cause of land degradation is overstocking of sheep in numbers that graze down the vegetation faster than it can regrow. In some areas, overgrazing was ruinous and irreversible because it led to loss of the soil. Today, now that overgrazing's effects are recognized, the Australian government imposes maximum stocking rates for sheep. Formerly, however, the government imposed minimum stocking rates. Farmers were obliged to stock a certain minimum number of sheep per acre as a condition of holding the lease. Just as true for land clearance, the government canceled leases of farmers who failed to damage the land. 3 other causes of land degradation have already been mentioned. Rabbits remove vegetation, cost farmers by reducing the pasturage available to sheep and cattle, and also cost farmers through the expense of the measures that farms adopt to control rabbit populations. Nutrient exhaustion of soils often develops within the first few years of agriculture because of the low initial nutrient content of Australian soils. Erosion of topsoil by water and wind increases after its cover of vegetation has been thinned or cleared. The resulting runoff of soil via rivers into the sea, by making coastal waters turbid, is now damaging and killing the Great Barrier Reef, one of Australia's major tourist attractions, not to mention its biological value in its own right and as a nursery of fish. The term man-made drought refers to a form of land degradation secondary to land clearance, sheep overgrazing, and rabbits. When the cover of vegetation is removed by any of these means, land that the vegetation had previously shaded now becomes directly exposed to the sun, thereby making the soil hotter and drier. Hot and dry soil conditions impede plant growth in much the same way as does a natural drought. Weeds are defined as plants of low value to farmers, either because they are less palatable or totally unpalatable to sheep and cattle, or because they compete with useful crops. Some weeds are plant species introduced from overseas. Others are Australian native plants. Because grazing animals prefer to eat certain plants, the action of grazing animals tends to increase the abundance of weeds and to convert pasture cover to plant species that are less utilized or unutilizable. Weeds vary in the ease with which they can be combated. Some weed species are easy to remove, but other weed species are very expensive or prohibitively difficult to eliminate once they have become established. About 3,000 plant species are considered weeds in Australia today and cause economic losses of about $2 billion per year. To the misguided government policies of land clearance and sheep overstocking may be added the policies of the government's wheat board. It has tended to make rosy predictions of higher world wheat prices, thereby encouraging farmers to incur debt for capital investments and machinery, to plant wheat on land marginal for wheat growing. Many farmers then discovered, to their misfortune, that the land could support wheat for only a few years, and that wheat prices dropped. The remaining cause of land degradation in Australia, salinization, is the most complex and requires the most explanation. I mentioned previously that large areas of Australia contain much salt in the soil, as legacies of salty sea breezes, former ocean basins, or dried-out lakes. While a few plants can tolerate salty soils, most plants, including almost all of our crops, cannot. If the salt below the root zone just stayed there, it wouldn't be a problem. But two processes can bring it up towards the surface and start causing problems: irrigation salinization and dryland salinization. Irrigation salinization has the potential for arising in dry areas where irrigation is necessary, as in parts of southeastern Australia. If a farmer drip irrigates, that is, installs a small irrigation water fixture at the base of each fruit tree or crop row, and allows just enough water to drip out as the trees or crops' roots can absorb, then little water is wasted, and there is no problem. But if the farmer instead follows the commoner practice of broadcast irrigation, that is, flooding the land or else using a sprinkler to distribute the water over a large area, then the ground gets saturated with more water than the roots can absorb. The unabsorbed excess water percolates down to that deeper layer of salty soil, thereby establishing a continuous column of wetted soil through which the deep-lying salt can percolate, either up to the shallow root zone and the surface where it will inhibit or prevent growth of plants, or else down to the groundwater table and from there into a river. In principle, problems of irrigation salinization can be partly mitigated by going to the expense of installing drip irrigation instead of broadcast irrigation.